This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available if at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Tony Pauline is outstanding when it comes to breaking down the NFL draft. Consulting editor and NFL draft analyst at SportsKita.com. Tony, thank you for hopping aboard. How are you?
I'm okay. Thank you for having me.
Always a pleasure. What's the story of this draft? I mean, just sort of thinking about this up at the top, I don't know who's going second. I don't know who's going third. I think now we kind of have the intrigue starting there. Is that how you see the story of this draft?
Yes, to an extent, because I think whoever doesn't go second will go third. And whoever goes third didn't go second. So I think those, I don't think we're, you know, there's going to be a surprise. I think the story, which is really driven by the media, is where the Shedeur Sanders end up. Because, you know, that story has seemed to take all the oxygen out of the room. People say he should go second or third. People say, like me, say later in the first round. I think that's one story. The other story is Tyler Warren, the tight end from Penn State. Mm-hmm. You know, where does he end up? Some feel that he's going to be a top 10 pick. Does he really deserve to be a top 10 pick? And as far as I'm concerned, the last big story is Shamar Stewart, you know, the Olympic-type athlete from Texas A&M who had 1.5 sacks last year and 4.5 sacks in his college career. Where does he end up? So I think what you bring up is a storyline, but I think it starts with Shedeur Sanders, and there's a couple other players involved.
All right, Tony, so let's talk Shedeur Sanders. What is the best-case scenario for him in terms of how high he could go? What is the worst-case scenario if he falls? And then what are some pivot points of interest?
Well, I think the earliest he goes is New Orleans Saints, although I'm not convinced of that at all with, you know, what's going on with Derek Carr, and we haven't had any finality as far as that's concerned. If he doesn't go 9 to New Orleans, which I don't think he's going to, I think you got to look at the Pittsburgh Steelers at number 21. Who need a quarterback. As I reported yesterday, Mike Tomlin is in favor of drafting Shedeur Sanders. Mike Tomlin doesn't feel he really needs Shedeur Sanders because he's happy going into the season with Mason Rudolph. If he gets past Pittsburgh at 21, I think what happens then is you got to look at teams that may want to trade back into the bottom part of round one from the early part of round two to maybe draft Shedeur Sanders. But really from 9 to 21, you look at those teams there, maybe the Seattle Seahawks, although they just signed Sam Darnold. You know, I don't see any team in between those selections taking Shedeur Sanders because they need a quarterback.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air.
What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Is there a chance then, it sounds like you're saying maybe, that he could fall into the end of the first round? I mean, there's no way he would get to the second round, right? And I ask this because Washington's got the 29th pick. If somehow, some way he hasn't been drafted, I feel like that helps them with somebody possibly coming up to pick up an extra year as a fifth-year option for a quarterback.
Or they just want the quarterback. I mean, I do think, like I said, if he gets past Pittsburgh at 21, there's a good chance that one of those teams in the bottom part of round one trade out to a team that, you know, is selecting at the top of round two, whether it be Cleveland, whether it be the New York Giants, whether it be the Las Vegas Raiders, you know, on and on, that didn't take a quarterback early in the first round, but need a quarterback for the future.
Tony Pauline with us here on Grant and Danny. So, Tony, where would you have Sanders and then by extension Cam Ward in terms of quarterback hierarchy, maybe if they were in last year's draft, where Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May went 1, 2, 3, not long after Penix, J.J. McCarthy, and Bo Nix went, where do you have these two guys this year ranked maybe in comparison to those guys last year?
I think Cam Ward is maybe number four. Mm-hmm. He's battling for that fourth, fifth spot after your top three guys. I don't think any of these guys come close to the top three quarterbacks that were selected last year. I think Shedeur Sanders is probably battling with Bo Nix for that spot as the sixth quarterback selected. I mean, you know, a lot of teams and people like myself put a premium in a quarterback entering the draft off a tremendous season, off a high point. Jaden Daniels, Michael Penix, Bo Nix, even J.J. McCarthy. You could throw his name in that era. And that is Cam Ward. That is definitely not Shedeur Sanders, who really there's not a lot of difference between the tape from 2023 to 2024. In fact, you can make the argument that in some areas he regressed.
Tony, who's the best player in this draft, regardless of position?
In my opinion, it's Abdul Carter. It's not even close. I mean, people are going to, I think, mischaracterize him as an edge rusher, and he showed himself to be a terrific edge rusher last season when Penn State primarily used him, you know, out of a three-point stance at defensive end. But you go back to the 2023 film where he was playing more of a true linebacker spot, and he was terrific. I mean, he was dominant. Pursues sideline to sideline, stacks well against the run, showed ability in coverage. And even though the league is quarterback crazy now, you go back in the draft 25 years ago, it was the impact defensive player that everybody wanted at the top of the draft, and I feel Abdul Carter is exactly that.
So if he's there for the Giants at three, you think they run the card up?
Oh, absolutely. I think it checks a lot of boxes for him. And, you know, with the third pick of the draft, you potentially get the best player in the draft. And the Giants, like the Browns, you know, they have a head coach and a general manager that's on a very short leash. They got to get immediate impact from whatever player they select next week. That player's got to be on the field week one, positively producing. And I think Abdul Carter can do that.
Tony Pauline on Grant and Danny talking NFL draft. You're on in D.C. Let's get to the Commanders. They have the 29th pick in round one. Obviously a light haul of picks after some offseason trades. What's your outlook for Washington in the first round at pick 29? Maybe the needs that you like or don't like for them? And then what kind of rumblings, if any, are you hearing about players they may be in on?
Well, I think they would want an edge rusher right off the top. I think that is still a position of need for them. I think at some point in time, they want to get a running back. This is a running back deep class. I think they also want to add, they want to add another receiver. They've done a good job in the offseason addressing some needs. So I think where they are selecting at number 29, and not and using picks to acquire veterans, as you mentioned, I think they just have to wait for the draft to come to them and see, you know, what is available to them. Are there any good pass rushers still available when they call to, when they're called to the clock? Is James Pierce of Tennessee there? And if he is there, does he fit their system? If none of the edge rushers are there, do they look at an Omarion Hampton? If he's there, Omarion Hampton may not even be there. Or, as we mentioned before, are there any possibilities for them to trade down, collect some extra picks, and then load up on those positions or address those positions in day two and three?
Tony, are there guys that you just kind of referenced some of those scenarios there? And this is kind of what Grant and I have been sort of dancing around here for a couple of weeks leading up to this draft. Are there guys, like you mentioned, for the Giants, if Abdul Carter's there, you set a record, Usain Bolt-style, run the card up. Is there a run-the-card-up guy that might be there at 29, or are they best served trading back because now you're in kind of that eye-of-the-beholder, six, one-half dozen, the other range?
Well, I mean, talk to me next Thursday. We don't know that. Obviously, if a highly-rated player happens to fall, again, James Pierce, if he falls to 29, there are obvious reasons why he fell to 29. There are some off the field and character concerns. You know, from a ability on the field point of view, yeah, I'm running the card up from James Pierce, who I like. But are you comfortable with all the other issues? If a Shamar Stewart of Texas A&M falls to them at 29, great athlete, I mean, fantastic in shorts and a T-shirt, but are you going to be able to teach him to transition that athleticism onto the football field, assuming he's even available to them? I mean, they're in a position where, I don't expect any big names except for the ones that I mentioned to potentially be there for them. Just have to wait and see, let the draft come to them.
Tony Pauline with us here on G&D. Are there some players in this draft that you aren't sure why they're getting as much praise or hype or attention that you've seen in mocks or otherwise that are going to go high that you kind of say, you know what, you enjoy that. That's not for me.
Yeah, well, I mentioned one in Tyler Warren. I mean, yep. Tyler Warren, the tight end from Penn State, he's a nice tight end. He's not Brock Bowers. In fact, Colston Loveland of Michigan is more Brock Bowers than Tyler Warren. But he's good. He's a solid pass catcher. He's a solid blocker. He does everything very well. But he's not a great prospect, especially for some people talking about him potentially being the seventh pick of the draft to the New York Jets or the ninth pick of the draft to the New Orleans Saints, where he could end up. I think what Tyler Warren does is he brings the ability to start on day one for a team and produce very early on. I think that, Tet McMillan's a guy who's falling, and I think what's going to happen is Matthew Golden, the receiver from Texas, could be the first receiver off the board, but he's still very rough around the edges. He's not as dominant as Tet McMillan, the receiver from Arizona, was, but he's really done a good job in the pre-draft process. Ran 4.29 at the combine, had a great pro day, and you just hope that you can transition all those skills onto the football field if you're going to take him in the top 15.
Tony, speaking of wide receivers, Ty Felton out of the University of Maryland here in the DMV, I know you've been very high on him. He caught 96 balls for 1,125 yards and 9 touchdowns last year, and you had a report this week that you're being told the Commanders are pretty high on him. Where might he go, and what can you tell us about the relationship between Washington and Felton, who's been in their backyard?
Yeah, well, like I said, I know that Felton would love to play for the hometown Commanders, and I know that Washington likes him. In fact, during their local pro day, they had him in, and after all the on-field drills, I was told they took him out, and for half an hour, they had him field punts. Now, the thing about Felton and the Commanders is Felton projects as a middle of round three type of prospect, maybe late part of round three. Commanders don't have a selection there. So as I said in my report, what do they do, the Commanders? Would they take him with the 61st selection? Seems a little bit early as far as my board is concerned. Do they wait and cross their fingers and hope that he's around in the fourth round? I don't think that's going to happen. But again, we talked about maybe them potentially, speculatively, let's say, trading down in round one, getting a pick back in the third round, maybe even trading down. I think for them to take Ty Felton where he deserves to be selected in the draft, they're going to have to be creative.
Tony, really appreciate the time. I know you got to jump. Thanks for hopping on with us.
Thank you for having me.
Tony Pauline, NFL draft analyst, with some good insight on what the Commanders might be able to do at 29.